Now let's come on God's word this morning to the book of Philippians and to chapter number 4, the book of Philippians and chapter number 4, and really going to finish off what we started looking at last week. And as we have made our way through Philippians, we've come right to the very end of our little study called In Christ Alone, Lessons from Lockdown. And we've made our way right through all the different aspects of the Lord Jesus and what he means to Paul and what he means to us as being a believer. We've looked at his Paul's purpose in life was to live for Christ. We've looked at the pattern that Paul followed, the mind of Christ. We've looked at the pursuit. Paul says that I might know him. And if we were to stop there, you would wonder, how on earth could I do any of those things? Well, we come to Philippians chapter 4, and we come to find that Christ is the power throughout life, that Christ is the one who empowers us and enables us to live the Christ-like Christian life. And last week, we began looking at verse number 13, where Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And this is the key to living the Christ-like life. First of all, we looked at the fact that Paul adopted, or the stance that Paul embraced, because he says, I can do all things. There was no spiritual pessimism. There was no Paul saying, I can't. Now, this wasn't arrogance, but this was a realization of who he was and what he was in Christ and what he had in Christ. And as he looked at life with all of its issues and the circumstances, he says, I can. That was the stance that he embraced. But secondly, we looked at the secret Paul employed, because he says, I can do all things through Christ. And the two can't be separated. And it was through the power of Christ that he was able to do all things. The third thing we're going to look at this morning is the strength that Paul experienced. Because the last little phrase says, which strengtheneth me. There's times as a preacher you preach through a passage, you preach through a verse. I want this morning just really to preach on one word, and it's the word strengtheneth. You see, Paul knew the personal reality of experiencing Christ's strength. This was not some theological theory, but Paul personally knew what it was to experience the strength of Christ. His strength, the strength of the Lord, had created that heart of contentment that we read of in the immediate context, that had gotten Paul through the differing experiences of life. Whether on the mountaintop of abundance or in the valley of abasement, he had experienced personally the reality of Christ's strength. And that's where we want to get to this morning. We want to move from the theory of this, that all sounds good, to actually experiencing personally that. But what does it mean? What does it mean to experience the strength of Christ in our lives? Well, it means to have a conscious awareness of the enabling power of Christ at work in us. Being conscious of a strength that is not our own. And you say to me, but how do I know that strength? Well, as you cast yourself wholly upon the Lord, usually in hindsight, as you have stood up and taught a memory verse or give a word at the table or preached a service or taught children or witnessed in the open air or done something, as you have cast yourself upon the Lord and you look back when that is finished and you sort of come back into yourself, you go, I couldn't have done that without the Lord. I knew what it was to be borne along by the Lord. It's a very hard thing to define, but if you know what I mean, you'll know what it is to experience the strength of Christ. And you know what an extraordinary, unfathomable thing the strength of Christ is. The strength of Christ, of course, was present in our salvation, because in Romans 5 and 6 we read that when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. We hadn't the strength to save ourselves. And of course, it was the Lord's sacrifice upon the cross that was active in our salvation, but also his strength. He had the power to defeat sin. And when we were without strength, it was his strength that saved us. But not only was his strength present in our salvation, but as we read in Psalm 68, it's his strength that is preeminent in creation. In Psalm 68 and 34, as we read this morning, the psalmist says, "Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel." And then listen to this. It says, "His strength is in the clouds." That literally means his strength exists as a canopy to cover the skies. The strength of the Lord is that preeminent canopy over all creation that holds all things together and allows all things to function. But then listen to this. Not only does his strength exist as a canopy over creation, but the psalmist goes on, and I wonder, did you note it this morning? The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. You see, our God does not hoard his strength. God doesn't hold it and say, you know, this is mine and I'm not giving it. And this is what Paul is speaking about this morning. It's the giving of this strength in verse 13 that Paul says that he's able to avail of the strength that the Lord himself gives. And you know, what a wonder that the Lord desires to share his strength with his people. And you know, even in that, and I want you to understand this morning, in that, in the God, in the Lord giving us his strength, it's not so much the Lord adding his strength to ours, but imparting his strength. In Galatians 2 and 20, we read, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." And Paul says, Christ is living in me, and as Christ lives in me, he strengthens me. You know, and I say this carefully, but I want you to understand this. It's not a case where the Lord says, "I want you to see how you get on with whatever you're facing in life. I want you to see how you get on getting through life on your own. And where your strength fails, I'll add my strength to top it up." That's not the case. And so often we think that's what it is. You know, we get to a point of failure, and then the Lord adds his strength to ours. But that's not the case. That's not the teaching. Paul says, as Christ lives in me, his strength is my strength. That's an incredible thought. That it's not a topping up, but it's a complete availment of the strength of Christ. That's obvious from the meaning of the original word. The original word is en dunamo. That's what it is in the Greek. And the word can be translated in two different ways. First of all, the word strengtheneth can mean to infuse into. That's what the word, Kenneth Weiss and other translators translate the word strengtheneth as infuse. So let's put that in. I can do all things through Christ which infuses me with his strength. Now, what is an infusion? Well, one dictionary defines it like this. An infusion is to cause to be permeated with something that alters it, usually for the better. What's the one example that you're already thinking of? Tea. When you go and make tea, you boil water, and then you drop a tea bag in, and then you pour the water in. And what happens is the flavor and the qualities within the tea leaves are infused into the water, and the water extracts the qualities of the tea, and it changes its character, and it gives it its flavor. As that infusion happens, water on its own is nothing without tea, and as the tea leaves, the flavor infuses into the water. You know, what a lovely thought. Paul could say, as Christ lives and abides in me, and as I live and abide in Christ and yield my life constantly and completely to him, he infuses his strength into me. His strength permeates me, creating in me an ability that I wouldn't otherwise have, giving me a character, a resilience, an enablement to do all things. His strength infuses his people. But not only does the word mean to infuse into, but the word strengthens also means to pour into. A.T. Robertson translates the verse like this: "I can do all things in him who pours his power into me." Now, this is an incredibly visual image. When you go to the petrol pump and you take that nozzle, you're literally pouring power into your car because It's the fuel which powers the engine. Cars are powerless without fuel. You know, you can have the most powerful engine or the greatest car in the world, but without fuel, it's nothing. And the idea here is, that the Lord Jesus pours his power into our individual lives. Not only does he infuse it, but he actually pours it in. Now, here's the thing, and this is to understand the metaphor, to get the analogy. When do you put fuel into your car? When is the car needing its fuel? When it's empty. Put fuel into your car when it's empty. What a challenging thought is in that. Christ is the source of unlimited strength for the Christian. But we control how much power is poured in. You see, sometimes we just want the top up. Sometimes we come to Christ just to top us up. Lord, I just need a little bit of your strength to get me over the line. I'm almost there. You know, it's a little bit like these fancy cars that have fuel additives. That little additive just to make the engine run a bit sweeter, to perform a bit better. Lord, I just want you to add a bit of your strength to mine. Would it not be better, folks, to be filled with Christ's strength? Not just to be topped up, but to be filled. But here's the thing, in order to be full, what have we got to be? We've got to be empty. We've got to be empty vessels. We've got to be empty of strength, of self-strength and self-sufficiency and self-confidence if we're ever to know the strengthening power of Christ. I've quoted the verse, I don't know, many times in this last number of weeks, 2 Corinthians 3:5. Paul says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. He is our strength. I want to look at two very vivid illustrations of this truth. Times when the Lord's power was poured into an empty situation. Let's go, first of all, to 2 Kings chapter number 4. 2 Kings chapter 4, and we're in the life of Elisha. And Elisha, remember, just like Elijah, goes to a widow. And this widow in 2 Kings chapter 4 is almost at the end of her life. She's deep in debt. She's got nothing to pay her debts with. And it says in 2 Kings chapter 4, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor has come to take unto him my two sons to be born. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. And then listen to this. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out into all those vessels that thou shalt set aside that which is full. And then she goes and does it. Now here's a lady, and she's absolutely empty. She's got nothing, and her creditors are coming. And Elisha says, what have you got? And she says, I've got some oil. He doesn't say to her, go around all your neighbors and get, you know, half-filled containers. He says, go and get empty containers, and I'm going to show you the power of God. And she experienced the power of the Lord when the vessels were empty. Let me give you another story. This time, John chapter number 2. You know exactly where I'm going with this. We're going to the wedding at Cana of Galilee, the Lord's first public miracle. What had happened? The wedding feast, the wine ran out. Remember that? The wine ran out. And the people come, and Mary says, you know, you've got to go to the Lord. And it says in verse 3, when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. And there were set there 6 water pots of stone, after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. And Jesus saith unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. They had to be empty before the Lord took them. And then the Lord instructed to fill them. And he changed the water into wine. But the point is this, they started off empty. The guests experienced the power of Christ when the wine ran out and the vessels
were empty.
Folks, to experience the fullness of Christ's power in our lives requires emptiness. Requires emptiness. Do you know, as I look at my life and you look at your life, how often we know so little of His strength because we're depending too much on our own. One commentator says, the moment we lose our sense of need of Him to enable us to live a supernatural life is the moment we are vulnerable to the old flesh taking over in one form or another. Do not be deceived. Instead, continually be desperate for Him and your need to continually abide in Him. If we experience a power outage or power failure, it's not because of a failure in the source, but a failure in us to depend upon the source. I wonder, is that why we fail? Because we feel to be empty. Do you know what? Our best, we're weak. Our strength is a poor substitute for His, which is why Mary E. Maxwell in her hymn just puts it so brilliantly. And what a prayer for our hearts this morning. Emptied that Thou shouldst fill me, a clean vessel in Thine hand, with no strength, but as Thou givest graciously with each command. It's casting ourselves at the feet of the Lord and saying, Lord, I haven't got the strength. I empty myself before You. Give me the ability. Give me Your strength to do what You've asked me. But you know, there's something more about the word in dunamo. And the thing is this, it's in the present tense. Now, I don't want to get too technical about this, but if you see a word in the present tense, it means, or it signifies something that's continual. And so here's how we can translate this verse. We can literally say, I can do all things through Christ who continually infuses me, who continually pours His strength into me. You know, Christ does not just fill us once with His strength and we get saved. It's not a case when we get saved, the Lord says, right, here's all my strength, right? Here you go. Here's all my strength for the rest of your Christian life. Now, don't be using too much of it because it's got to last you your whole life. He does not give us a resource that's never replenished that we must be thrifty or frugal with. Christ's strength is like the rest of His attributes. It's unlimited, unending, unsearchable, meaning that the Lord is exceedingly able to provide His continual power regardless of how great our need is. And you know how often we doubt the Lord when we experience His strength and then we come to a greater mountain and we say, I can't do this. Somehow the Lord's strength is going to fail. The Lord's strength is going to run out. And yet Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who continually strengthens me. There is no diminishing of it. Throughout our lives, the power of Christ is continually available. But here's the thing for you and I today. We must avail continually of it. As Paul closed Ephesians, in Ephesians 6 and 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. That little phrase, be strong in the Lord, is again in the present. And it's keep on being strong in the Lord. Keep on availing of His power. You know, isn't it so easy to cast ourselves upon the strength of the Lord when we're in dire straits? And then when we get things in an even keel again, the old man creeps back in. I can take it from here, Lord. Paul says, keep on being strong in the Lord. Don't live your Christian life the way Rachel drives her car, always with a fuel light on. But we do, don't we? Dragging the last drop. And yet we could be so full of the Lord's strength, and yet we often drive the fuel light on. Do you know, as we bring our time to a close this morning, as we bring Philippians to a close and this study to a close, throughout his life, regardless of the circumstances, Paul continually experienced the enabling strength of Christ to do all things. What were those things? I want us to look just at three very simple. Now, it'll only be short. I'm going to make a comment. You can consider it in your own quiet time. But where or when in Paul's life did he experience Christ's strength personally? Well, first of all, Paul experienced Christ's strength in the fulfilling of his spiritual assignment. Come with me to Acts chapter 9. Now, turn up these references because they'll help us. Maybe you're struggling this morning with your spiritual assignment. It may not be full-time work, but it might be something else, some other thing that the Lord has called you to do, and you're struggling. Well, Paul experienced Christ's strength in fulfilling his spiritual assignment. Acts chapter 9, and I love the way this actually all comes together. Acts chapter 9 and verse number 22. Here in Acts 9, Paul is still Saul. He's at the start of his ministry. He's still in Damascus. And listen to what it says. But Paul increased the more in strength. That's not his own strength. That's the Lord's strength. Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving this, or that this is very Christ. Paul, right from the get-go, as Paul entered into his ministry, and as he began to preach Christ, from the get-go, Paul was experiencing the strength of his newfound Savior in fulfilling the task the Lord had for him. Remember, after he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" he said, "Lord, what wilt thou of me to do?" And the Lord commissioned him. And from the get-go, he employed the strength of the Lord. He didn't try to go and preach in his own strength. Oh, you know, young Christian, young in life, it's good to learn early to avail of Christ's strength. As you start out in life, as you start out in ministry, learn early to avail of Christ's strength. But you know, in Acts 9, he's still Saul. He's at Damascus at the start of his ministry. Come all the way over to 1 Timothy chapter 1, because we're now at the end of Paul's ministry. We're at the end of Paul's life. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. Paul's now an older man. He's come through all the years of ministry. And he's exhorting the next generation. Older people, this morning, you have a duty to exhort the next generation. And here, as Paul looks back upon his life, and as he exhorts the next generation, reflecting over his life and ministry, he says in verse number 12, "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me." That little phrase, "enabled," is the same word in "do." Strengthen me. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. And so as Paul set out looking at his ministry, he increased in strength. And as Paul looked back upon his ministry, he said, "It's the Lord who strengthened me." He acknowledges that it's only the strength of Christ that has enabled him to fulfill his ministry. From the start to the end, Paul experienced and proved Christ's strength to be sufficient for fulfilling his spiritual assignment. Regardless of what age or stage you're at, in your Christian life or Christian ministry, whether you're embarking on it or ending it, Christ's strength is not only essential, but it is sufficient to enable you to fulfill whatever spiritual assignment the Lord has for you. And I said about it last week, how often we say, you know, we turn an "I can't" and the "I won't." Lord, I could never do that. I couldn't testify. I couldn't do this. I've been asked to help out at a holiday Bible club. I've been asked. I could never do it. Paul is an example from start to finish that you can. The Lord strengthened him, enabled him to get through. Paul experienced Christ's strength in fulfilling his spiritual assignment. Secondly, Paul experienced Christ's strength in times of total abandonment. Come over just a book into 2 Timothy this time. 2 Timothy chapter 4. We really are getting to the end of Paul's life now. And as Paul continues to exhort Timothy, he speaks about the times he was alone. I know, other men know, anybody in ministry knows that ministry can not only be hard, but ministry can be lonely. It can. That's the reality of it. And I don't know if that's how you feel this morning. Lonely, abandoned. Even the most faithful of folks can abandon us, fail us, forget us, even turn against us. Pastors can fail us. Members can fail us. Office bearers can fail us. We can be left at times feeling abandoned and alone. Paul knew what it was like to be abandoned, forgotten, forsaken, left to fight life alone. But look at what he says in those times. In 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and verse number 17, or verse 16, it says, "At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be led to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion." You see, Paul got through the times of abandonment. Paul got through the times of disappointment. Paul got through the times of discouragement when his most faithful men abandoned him, and he was left standing alone to bear the burdens of ministry, to have nobody rush to his defense, to be wrongly accused, and have nobody to stand at his side. And Paul got through because he wasn't relying on others to prop him up. You see, as he was left alone, and I want you to get this, the Lord didn't just stand with him and put an arm around him and say, "There, there, Paul." But the Lord stood with him and infused him and poured into that moment his own supernatural strength. Do you know, folks, I know it can be hard when folk turn on us, when folk turn from us, when we decide to stand up for what we believe or make a hard decision. And maybe you've done that in a previous church or a past circumstance, and you've been forgotten, dropped like a hot potato, forsaken. Can I say to you this morning, don't despair. Because the Lord always stands with us. And as I've said already, not just in sympathy to say, "Oh, you know, I sympathize with you," or to support us, but as our actual strength to get through and to keep going, so that we may boldly say with the writer of Hebrews, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me." Why? Because the Lord's my strength. Paul experienced Christ's strength in fulfilling his spiritual assignment. Whatever the Lord called him to do, he experienced the Lord's strength from start to finish. He experienced Christ's strength in times of total abandonment. Finally, and very quickly, Paul experienced Christ's strength in enduring personal ailment. Come with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is perhaps the most famous of all the verses that we've thought about in connection to Paul's personal life. It's the infamous chapter of the thorn in the flesh, and all the theologians love to debate what the thorn in the flesh was. I don't know, you don't know, nobody knows. Might have been spiritual, might have been mental, might have been physical, could have been blindness, could have been, who knows what it was. But Paul had some kind of thorn in the flesh, and whatever it was, Paul desperately wanted rid of it. He wasn't some supernatural man that didn't struggle with the ailments of life and wanting to be rid of them. It says in verse number 8, it says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Whatever it was, though Paul wanted rid of it, the Lord didn't remove it, but provided his strength to endure it, proving the whole teaching of Philippians 4 and 13. That I can do all things, face all things, bear all things, be all things. As we closed last week, I made that point. Whatever God permits, God will provide sufficient strength to bear, whether an illness, an ailment, whatever it is. You know, this thorn kept Paul humble, serving as a continual reminder of the weakness of his flesh, driving him continually to the strong for his strength. Through that thorn, Paul learned that it's in our times of weakness that Christ's strength is most powerfully manifested in us. When we're at an end of ourselves, empty of all energy and enablement, we are then in the perfect place to experience Christ's strengthening power. Doesn't matter how spiritual we are. Nobody wants to walk the path of debilitating illness. Nobody wants to face cancer even as a Christian. Nobody wants to battle the road of dementia. Nobody wants to come through an intensive care unit with coronavirus. Nobody wants a life-changing accident or illness. Nobody wants to be left feeling like you can't carry on. If you're in that category this morning, the Lord says with His strength, you can carry on. You will get through. Because as Paul said, and as the Lord comforted him, he says, I'm not going to take this from you. But I'm going to show you that my grace and strength is sufficient. Because in your weakness, my strength is perfected. My strength is poured in. My strength is infused. You can't go on. You can. Because if you're a child of God, you can do all things through Christ, which will continually strengthen you. That was a different way of looking at Philippians. We've looked at it four chapters in Christ alone. That's what Christian life's all about. And as we emerge out of lockdown, it's a gospel reset. It's all about Christ. He is our purpose in life. He's the pattern we follow in life. He's our pursuit for life. But praise God, He's our power throughout life. We'll maybe do Philippians some other time, but there's something to think about. And may the Lord bless His word and this series to all of our hearts.